Falcons Saints getting ready to meet for the 111th time. Both teams have won 55 games. And a quarterback for a couple of those affairs, our own David Archer. Arch, good morning, sir.
How you doing, buddy? Good to be with you on a Saint week. Love it.
Yes, sir.
He never lost to the Saints, by the way.
I know. Well, I've got a point about that. Arch, I was December 22nd, 1985. You guys play the Saints. You get the victory. I believe 16-10. Earl Campbell's final game, final carry. Wendell Kaysen strips him of the ball. It appeared that Earl Campbell's going to score a touchdown. They play. Pulls up lane with a hamstring. Last time Earl Campbell ever carried a football in an NFL game.
Wow, great call, Rob. You talk about digging into the annals. Yeah, I can visualize it right now. I can see it right now. There was a play in that game where we had the ball, I think third, and we were on about our own 19-yard line. It was third and about five, and I got pushed out of the pocket to the right and scrambled all the way back to our sideline on the left. They tracked it that I ran 75 yards to throw a ball to Alma Matthews. Remember Alma Matthews?
I do remember Alma Matthews.
He got the first down, and we extended the drive, yeah.
Aren't you glad we got to mention Wendell Kaysen and Alma Matthews today?
There you go, yeah. Alma Matthews went on to be a referee in the SEC. Sure did.
Dave, I want you to answer a question for me that I don't know if any quarterback has ever given me a straight answer on. And I know how this feels as an offensive lineman when there's an injury situation and you have to step in and you have a couple of, possibly a couple backups up front. Both quarterbacks will be dealing with that this weekend. As a quarterback, when you have a backup lineman that's starting in front of you or multiple backup linemen starting in front of you, is that something that is in the back of your mind when you're taking your dropbacks, or are you just simply like, you know what, man, go up there and do your job, I'll read the coverage?
Well, certainly, Mike, you're aware of it during the week. But I think that once the game starts, I don't think you think about who's where. The one caveat to that would be the center position, which is what we're going to see this weekend. And Ryan Neuzel will step in and play for Drew Dahlman, as we know. And so I thought Neuzel struggled some. And Dahlman's not a dominant interior player either, but I thought he struggled a little bit. He'll be better this week, having gotten to play last week. This will only be his fifth career start. He's played in some 26, 27 games in his NFL career. But that would probably be the only time that I'd be aware of it as a quarterback that my center's different. Because for whatever reason, there's nuances to those guys. Some guys are lower, some guys are higher. Sometimes you got to get your hands further underneath. It just
got to get intimate with those guys, Arch. You got to get.
Yeah, right. Some of them want a little pat on the ass before you go ahead and do it. I mean, you know, you got to be tender with some. Some you got to kick in the butt. So yeah, those guys are a little different. But I don't think so, Mike. I think you just kind of you go through the week knowing that there's some new guys in there, and you try to help them as best you can. And remind some backs, you know, especially for Storm Norton, hey, you know, let's make sure we're chipping on the way out. These guys have some guys that can rush the passer, Carl Granderson, and some of these guys can rush the passer. So just remind some of the backs to help out a little bit. But I think you just line up and go play.
The fact that Neuzel snaps his left hand, is that a big deal?
It can be, Rob, if he twists the ball or anything. Most centers snap the ball nose straight into your hands. And so you don't turn the ball anymore. It used to be back in the day, the center would turn the football and slap it up that way. Now the nose of the football comes up and you take it that way. So it doesn't really matter how it's coming up. As long as your top hand is receiving the threads and you can rotate it to your hand to be ready to throw, that's the key.
Arch, you mentioned their defensive line. Brian Brzee is having his best year so far as a pro. I mean, it was only his second year, but he's really kind of coming to his own. But then Carl Granderson as well. It used to be Cam Jordan was the guy we worried about. And I don't even mention Chase Young because, to me, he's not a guy I'm overly concerned about. It's Granderson and Brzee. How do they basically neutralize these guys, or can they?
Well, as soon as you start trying to forget about Cam Jordan, he's going to have a sack against you. And Cam Jordan, as we know, all the numbers that are attached to him playing against Atlanta, you know, in 26 games, he's got 23 sacks. I know a lot of that was against Matt Ryan, but you got a very similar quarterback playing for the Falcons. And so you can bet that Jordan will have his ears bent back and be ready to crank up when he hears that he's going to be in Atlanta. So don't discount Cam Jordan. But it's like every week, Bo. This is not something different. I mean, we've seen guys each and every week that you're going to face that are fire breathers coming off the edge. And so you find a way, you know, to mix things up on them. You got to make them play the run. We've got to be better in the run game. You can't just let them think it's going to be a pass game all day long. We got to be better on first and second down to make their, to put a little bit of doubt in their minds, because those guys have to be able to defend the run. And if they're not having to do that, if they're in third and long all the time, yeah, Granderson and Breezy are going to start thinking about what move they want to use and what's their counter move, and they're going to be rushing the pass. They're not going to be thinking about run games. So those are all the things you need to do. You got to mix it up on them to make sure they can't just hone in on some of their techniques and get after you.
Arch, earlier in the show, we were kind of breaking down the looks you might get defensively, and the Falcons are in cover three almost as much as anybody in the NFL. And on the flip side, Derek Carr, been actually pretty good against cover three, thrown for a couple of touchdowns. Walk people through some of the ups and the downs of being in a cover three defense and how teams try to attack that defense.
Well, you've got soft corners, Mike. That's the number one thing that comes to mind to me. If teams are playing cover three, and cover three, if you don't know, and I'm sure Mike's explained it, but you got three guys that are responsible for the three deep thirds of the field. So corner, safety, corner are responsible for thirds of the field all the way to the goal line, which means they're not going to come up and press. Now, you might get some press bail, meaning they'll come up, look like it's going to be press coverage, and they'll turn their rear into the sideline and get out of there. Because remember, they got to defend all the way to the goal line. So they've got to get out of there so they don't get run by. So the key to that is there should be some opportunities for Carr to throw the ball underneath. We saw Patrick Mahomes utilize that. When you get zone coverage, you can't. They're trying to keep the ball in front of them. So what you got to do is you've got to take what they give you. And on first down passing, you've got to make sure you go ahead and get that 4, 5, 6 yards to keep yourself in these manageable situations we're talking about. So that's what it lends itself to. Now, what it takes away, it's supposed to take away the deep shots. It's supposed to take away their ability to throw down the ball down the field. Now, this is a team in the Saints. You guys have been talking about it all week. They've been blowing the top off coverages. Rashid Shaheed can run. Chris Olave is as good as there is in that intermediate stuff, and he can get deep as well. But, you know, those two guys running those deep over routes and complementing with deep post routes, you're trying to take that away with the cover three. So you're going to give away some stuff underneath, but you're hoping to take away the deep shots.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd take away the deep shot arcs. Let's put Derek Carr on the turf a few times. Look, we haven't done that enough. We've had some pressures, but we haven't gotten the quarterback down enough. We haven't gotten turnovers enough. But the main thing that worries me about our defensive front right now is the being gashed in the run game. And we've got another good running back. Looks like a 2017-18 version of Alvin Kamara. What do our guys up front got to do? And I'm talking about Onyemata and Goldman and Grady. I thought Taquan Graham had his best game of the year last week. But what do we got to do up front to slow them down and get them in some third and longs where we can have time to get to Derek Carr?
Yeah, it's not as much about the run game, or it's not as much about the running back, Bo, as it is the offensive line. Yes, Kamara's a good back, but you're going to face a pretty good back every week. That's the way it is in this league. How can you attack their offensive line? What are their protections? What are the run blocking schemes? Are you dialed in on some of that? Some of it's going to take going away from what Mike's talking about. In cover three, that means those linebackers are playing at depth. They'll step to take away play action, but then they're dropping into zones. You may need to go to some more man coverage. We may need to flood them, need to run blitz them, run dog them with Troy Anderson and Caden Ellis in the interior to blow up their blocking schemes. Nothing blows up blocking more than penetration. So you've got to turn some guys loose, let guys get in gaps and blow through. But I think more than anything else, it's about bringing more to the dance against the run game than they can block. And I think Atlanta will have to try to do some of that. And some of it's just you're going to have to bow your back and be more physical. I thought Atlanta got pushed around in the interior some. Some of those guys are going to have to bow up a little bit. But I think more than anything else, it's going to have to be, again, mix up your looks and make sure that they're blocking schemes. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to affect the offensive line. He's only going to run to daylight. But if there's no daylight, then that's the problem. So what you're going to try to do is blow up their blocking schemes and get after their guys up front.
Arch, I got a philosophical, theoretical football question for you. The notion of accuracy with quarterbacks, do you either have it or you don't? Is it innate? I know you can sit there and polish your mechanics and fundamentals and try to duplicate your release, just like a pitcher does as well, but some pitchers have command or they don't. Is accuracy innate or can it be coached?
No, I think you can. I think you can work on it, Rob. I think that there's some guys that just have an innate ability to be pinpoint with the ball. Some of it has to do with their motion. If you've got a long arm motion, if there's a lot of movement in the arm, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. It's like a golf swing. You got a long golf swing.
Randall Cunningham is what I think of.
Exactly right. Randall had a he looked. Now, the ball came out of his hand. We used to call his arm a buggy whip because it just would go down near his hip, get back, and then cock and throw. And the ball would come out. Because his motion was so long, he thought, okay, well, he's going to be in trouble. But the ball came out with so much velocity that he made up for how long his motion was. But he struggled some with some accuracy. Now, some of those guys that have longer motions are better on deep shots. The guys that have the shorter motions are a catcher coming up to throw the ball to second base.
Right.
You get that shorter motion, your accuracy is pretty good underneath. So, you know, but I think the experience, getting the ball out on time, you know, knowing the idiosyncrasies of a receiver's routes when they know they're going to come out of breaks gives you an idea of get the ball out at a certain point in a certain location because you know how they come out of their breaks. I think that's some of what's going on maybe with Kirk and some of his receivers that seems to starting to develop. I talked to him a little bit about this week, is it seems to be coming each and every week, just him knowing what guys do at the top of their routes. There's little hints and things. I remember Billy White Shoes Johnson, you could read him like a book. When he got to, for me, not the DB, but as soon as he got to the top of the route, I had this little wiggle that I was watching for, and as soon as I saw the ball came out. Because I knew, and some guys don't have that. They'll roll out of the routes, and so you're late with the ball. That creates accuracy problems. So it's on the receiver a little bit as well.
Arch, real quick, last game yesterday for the A's at Oakland Alameda Coliseum. I know you grew up in that area for a little bit of your life, your early life. Is there a memory that from Oakland Alameda with the A's there, watching the A's play?
Well, there's a lot of memories. California Gold, Kelly Green, wedding gown white, and on Sunday, Vita Blue. You know, it was phenomenal to be able to go there. But I saw Reggie Jackson. I was in person. Reggie Jackson hit a ball against the Red Sox that went into the left center field gap, and the ball hit the wall, and Tony Coniglio was playing center, and he ran into the wall and knocked himself out. And it was old wooden walls back in those days, Rob. You remember those days?
Yeah.
He hit the wall, and he goes down. The ball kind of careened off his body back towards center field. He was playing center. So now the right fielder and the left fielder are trying to get to the ball, and Reggie could run back in the day.
He could, yep.
And he was digging, and he gets the clock at third base to go ahead and go, and the ball's coming in. And as he steps on third base and heads down the line, this guy looks like a hippie, jumps out of the crowd and runs and steps on the third base bag. And now he's about 6 feet behind Reggie running down the line. Reggie dives as the throw comes in, throw goes by and goes to the backstop. Reggie slides across the plate on his stomach, and the crowd's going wild. This dude behind him dives on the ground and slides across the plate too. And when he stood up, Reggie was standing there and said, "Give me 10," and they slapped hands. The police came out on the field and escorted this dude off the field. They handcuffed him and took him off the field. It was classic, man. I was like 8 years old. I said, "No, man, this is awesome. This is great."
God bless.
All right, let's go get a win on Sunday, and let's keep those they always bring tube as the hoot at people. Let's keep those tubas quiet.
This is, guys, this is one of the more important, one of the most important early season games I can ever remember.
Right.
Divisional opponent coming in, another one coming in on Thursday, and we've lost two at home. Man, what an important game for Atlanta to go get.
All right, Arch, we appreciate you, man. Have a good call on Sunday, and let's get a win, brother.